Let us turn now to Psalm 36 and read verse 7. Psalm 36 and at verse 7. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God, there for the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Particularly these words, there for the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Well, we have been trying to consider them, in particular, the various ways in which the wonder of God, as he has revealed himself, the wonderful ways in which that is expressed, that his mercy is in the heavens, his faithfulness reaches unto the clouds, and so on. And all of these expressions intended to magnify the greatness and the wonder of the great God of eternity. Now, it is said, thy mercy is in the heavens, and then we find in the verse we read, how excellent is thy loving kindness. And I think I mentioned on the last time we were considering this psalm that the word translated mercy is the same word as the word translated loving kindness, and therefore I was not going to speak individually on the first part of verse 7, but it's what leads on to the second part of the verse, which is what I want to focus on this evening, as the Lord may be pleased to help us. It's the excellence, the greatness of the loving kindness or the mercy of God that means that people in this world put their trust under the shadow of the wings of the Almighty. They put their trust, or they flee for refuge to these wings. And the Savior was speaking about them, how he would have gathered them. People of how he would have gathered the Jews together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and they had no desire for it. There was the picture of a hen, and there's some reason for fear. The hen sensed some kind of danger. So she would call the chickens to come and flee for refuge, to flee for safety under her wings, relative safety anyway. It would be safer than being a yard or two away from the hen. If they ran under the wings, they would have some degree of protection. But you see, what we have here is the loving kindness of God, the excellent loving kindness of God. The loving kindness of God is excellent. That's the view we are to take of it as we read about it, and as we read about the gracious provision that God has made in Christ, and there is no other Savior. There's nothing that can be said about the spiritual salvation that anyone can provide. Though you have those that have been sent out as ambassadors. But what are they to do? They're not to speak of them saving anybody. But they are to make known as representatives of Christ. They are to make known that there is salvation, and that is a merciful salvation, and that salvation is excellent, and that the mercy and the loving kindness, whichever word you use, that is involved in this salvation, that is excellent, that is wonderful, that we are to make a great deal of it. That's how it should be. As we hear of the mercy of God, we should be ready to make a great deal of it and come to trust under the wings of the Almighty. Now, under that shadow, in other words, under the wings, to flee for safety there, to flee for refuge, as we read in Hebrews 6, of fleeing for refuge to lay hold on the hope that is set before us, that there's an expectation of blessedness in Christ because of his merciful nature, and we are to flee. But as we had it in Isaiah 45, we are to look. But as you have it in Matthew 11, from the words directly of the Savior himself, to come. In other words, to believe, to trust. Now, if we are to trust in anything, the one who is speaking must be trustworthy. And what we are to think of is, in not so much the trustworthiness of the preacher, though there ought to be something of that, but it's this, the trustworthiness of the one whom the preacher is representing. Why does a preacher go out if things are right? It's because the Lord has sent him, and the Lord has sent him as an ambassador, and the Lord is trustworthy. Now that's foundational to everything. If we are to find salvation from the wrath to come, then surely it is totally necessary that we would find such a salvation. Then the one who has provided that salvation must be trustworthy. You might have someone in trouble, financial trouble perhaps, and someone tries to make a deal to help that person out of his particular difficulties. Now, remember I said it's something financial, and in these circumstances, surely it's absolutely necessary that the person who offers help would be trustworthy himself. Many a promise is made, many an undertaking is given, and it's part of a scam. Some individual action intended not to deliver the person, but to enrich the person who is making the offer. Now, here is the Lord calling us to flee for refuge. And one thing that we ought to be clear about is how trustworthy the Lord is. Now, we had that in verse 5. Thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. The exceeding greatness of the faithfulness of God. And when we're speaking about faithfulness, or when the Bible is speaking about faithfulness, it's along the same lines of speaking in a trustworthy way. The trustworthiness of the Lord. See again, when Christ says, "Come unto me, and I will give you rest," how trustworthy he is. How worthy of trust, our trust, whoever we are. You see that? There's the wonder of his loving kindness. There's the wonder of what the Lord has done. He gave his only begotten Son and gave him up to die in the place of sinners. In his mercy, in his loving kindness, Christ took the guilt upon him of a multitude that no man can number. And what we're saying is, how excellent was his loving kindness. How excellent, we might say, also was his faithfulness, is his trustworthiness when he speaks to us. And that's the thought we should have as we come across these things this evening. Come unto me and I will give you rest. No matter how weary and how heavy laden you might be, you see, that's all true, but remember the loving kindness and the excellence of that loving kindness. And remember the faithfulness of the one who speaks, the one who assures sinners, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Him that comes, there's an impossibility about it. See his trustworthiness. Oh, there's never been a sinner who came to Christ, who fled for refuge to him. There's never been a sinner who was turned away. Many a sad case there has been of people in trouble, people being pursued by an adversary, and they make it to some door, and the door doesn't open. They know that there's somebody behind the door, and the person will not open the door. The door is open, but there's someone standing there who will not let them in. And there's nothing of that. There's an impossibility about it as far as fleeing for refuge is concerned to Christ. I will in no wise cast out. I will welcome you in. It's the welcome of the Father. I mean, the Father in the parable of the prodigal son. It's that kind of welcome. It's not letting the sinner into eternal safety grudgingly. But it's this, running, as if he would take an instant. And I suppose, spiritually speaking, that's what it is. He would take a mere instant in getting from his own place to where the sinner is, the sinner in whom he has been working. And he sweeps that sinner in, so to speak, in an instant. No keeping that sinner out, whatever may be the experience of the sinner. Now, there's a difference between the sinner's perception of entering the kingdom and the actuality of entering the kingdom. Well then, it's because of that loving kindness that sinners are brought into the kingdom. When the Lord has spoken in a trustworthy way and spoken about righteousness and strength, in me there is righteousness and strength, it is what it amounts to. Now, I'm saying that on the basis of Isaiah 45, which we read. I'm not quoting it quite as it is just yet, but I'm referring to the testimony that you have in various expressions in the Word of God that the Lord is saying, in me that is righteousness and strength. You're a sinner, you're polluted. But in me that is righteousness. And Christ in particular saying to the sinner, he's saying it to every single sinner here. That's what he is saying. In me that is righteousness and strength. And Christ in particular is saying, in me that is righteousness. I died, I kept the law. That is a righteous provision for sinners, a provision that is absolutely consistent with the justice of God. Come then, sinner, because of the greatness and the excellence of Christ's loving kindness and the Father's loving kindness and the loving kindness of the Holy Spirit. Come, sinner, and receive this righteousness. Righteousness for sinners. Righteousness for the unrighteous, because Christ died. He died in the place of sinners. Righteousness and strength. Now there's the unrighteousness. I've referred to that. But righteousness and strength. And the sinner is weak, and the better the sinner realizes that, the better it is for our weakness. And Christ is saying, come unto me, and the sinner might say, but I've no strength. And what is Christ saying in reply? In me there is strength. Yes, he might say, and that's in effect what he does say, I know your weakness. But you are to look past your weakness, as it were. You are to confess your weakness. Your weakness because of sin, you are to confess that. And come to me as the one who has strength and who has strength to give. You see, in the excellence of divine loving kindness, you see this. The Lord giving the Holy Spirit to the weak sinner who cannot put one foot in front of the other, who cannot move either foot in coming to Christ, the foot of the soul. He cannot. Ah, but weak as the sinner can be drawn. Weak as the sinner is, there is excellent strength in Christ. Strength for sinners, you see. It's a complete salvation the Lord has provided. Yes, a complete salvation that he has provided. And you see what he is saying. I've quoted various expressions. But here's another one, calling the sinner, trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Trust ye in the Lord forever, trust now, and don't say, I trusted a moment ago. Yes, I trusted a few days ago, I trusted sometime in the past, but go on trusting. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. You see, there's hope for us, however weak we are. There's hope for us, however poor we are, however feeble, however unbelieving. It's not strength on our part that's required of us. It's the strength that the Lord gives. We're to be dependent upon him for strength in every duty, in every responsibility. In every situation where we might feel our need of being strong, but we'll never be strong in ourselves, that is. Now, you have various pictures of such things, and one of them is in connection with Ruth, and many a thing you can see in connection with Ruth in her being brought among the Lord's people. But see what Boaz says to it. A full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Under whose wings she fled for refuge. We don't know exactly what their experience was, but there was no doubt the teaching of Naomi that was blessed to her. But she came, and Boaz could see that she had fled for refuge to the place of safety, even in a foreign land where there was no true religion except what that family brought with them when the famine drove them out of their own country. But she fled for refuge in her need as a sinner. And Boaz gives this wish, a full reward be given. And there's a greater than Boaz in that there is the one on the throne who is making intercession before the throne of God. And what is he saying in connection with everyone that has fled for refuge, who has come under the shelter, come under the shadow of the divine wings? And he is saying in his intercession, a full reward be given to that Ruth, and a full reward be given to that David, and a full reward be given to this one and that one, who have come, who have fled for refuge under the shelter that Christ provides, the shelter provided by the perfect provision that has been given. And that's what will be said to every one of the Lord's children when the last comes to the last. And that's what will be said and what is being said in connection with them as they are drawn by Almighty power, as they are enabled to trust in the Savior, and as they do trust in the Savior in one degree or another. And there is that in the intercession of Christ this evening itself. If you are in any degree closing in with Christ in the free offer of the gospel, if you are coming however weakly and with whatever feeling of unrighteousness, the Lord himself before the throne is saying, a full reward be given to that one who has taken refuge under the shadow of my wings. And so we are to be asking, hide me under the shadow of thy wings. You get that in Psalm 17, beyond where we were singing. Hide me. You see, whatever need we have and whatever provision that is set out in the Word of God, there's a corresponding prayer that we should be making use of. Now, the particular words, up to a point, they don't matter. It's the meaning of the words. What I'm getting at is this, or trying to, that there may be many a way of expressing the same thing. Some may be better, some may be less good. But, you see, that's not the most important thing by any means. But I've quoted these particular words. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Draw me into the place of refuge. May I be willing to come as these Jews were not in the Savior's time on earth. To whom he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Oh, solemn, solemn words, ye would not. Ye were unwilling. Unwilling sinner here tonight, feel the solemnity of your state of mind, your attitude of soul. And the Savior calling you, oh, come then, sinner, because of the excellence of the loving kindness of God, the excellence of the loving kindness of Christ, in dying for sinners, the excellence of the loving kindness of Christ in going on calling sinners to himself. Yes. Oh, is this still the case with you? You are unwilling. Oh, well, come now. Ask the Lord to make you willing. You see, that's what I was saying. That when there's a matter set before us, a matter of duty or a difficulty, whether it's at the time or at some other time, you may be thinking over it to some little extent at least, and you feel a little of your responsibility, a little of your need, and that you need to hide under the shadow of Christ's wings. And what you're to be saying is, hide me under the shadow of thy wings. When I am as poor as I am, when I am as weak as I am, when I am as unrighteous as I am, oh, do thou draw me. You see, there's not a difficulty you can have. There's not a weakness you can have. There's not a degree of an inability, an unwillingness, an unbelief that you can have. But there's a provision for that in Christ. And do not be put off by your feeling of these things. Remember the excellence of the loving kindness of God in providing for you, for the likes of you as a sinner. And turn your sense of need, however worthless you might feel it to be. Remember your sense of need and come with a prayer. You might say, oh, but I can't pray and my words are poor. Well, pray. Use some form of words. And you'll find when you're stuck for words of your own, you could easily find something in the Word of God. You might just open the Bible and not read long, and you find it's something, and you say, that's what I need. Oh, then, use these words before God for the sake of Christ. You might go to the Psalms in particular. There's many a prayer there, or many an expression that you could easily make a prayer. But just begin with your need. What is the need that you're feeling? Well, think of it, and then make a prayer of that. It'll not need much change of wording, and you've got a prayer, a petition that you can send up to God for the sake of Christ, because of what he has done. Oh, remember this, how excellent is his loving kindness, and how many over the centuries have with some little sense of that, and they may grow into a greater sense of it, but with some little sense of that, they turn their need into a prayer, and they trust under the shadow of the wings of the Almighty. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God, therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. May the Lord bless his word to us.